Welcome to the Entrepreneur Success Formula podcast, where we'll be getting down to earth with real entrepreneurs who work hard and know that success is more than a mindset, as it takes blood, guts and a bucket full of luck to survive and thrive in the world of business today, especially today. My name is Damien Mark-Smith and I'm the author of the Entrepreneur Success Formula, How Thriving Business Owners Actually Do It, and the host for today's show. And I will be asking 10 quickfire questions to today's entrepreneurial guest, who is John Dashfield from Dashfield Coaching and Development, who offers a revolutionary approach to helping clients to consistently perform at their best, create sustainable success and eliminate stress and its undesirable effects, which requires no techniques, practices or methodology. So John, welcome to the show.
Hi Damien, good to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
My absolute pleasure. As I say, I think we know the same people because you did the Supercoach Academy with Michael Neal, didn't you?
I did.
Excellent. Love Michael. For anyone who doesn't know who Michael Neal is, I'll put a link to some of his stuff in the show notes. So right, let's get cracking. We've got the 10 quickfire questions. So John, why did you start your business? When did you start it? And how did you get your first customer?
Okay. Started my first business in 1991. Why did I start it? Because I discovered after working for a decade in the corporate world that it just wasn't for me. I needed to be able to express myself, not work in that kind of environment. And so I took the chance to go out on my own in the financial advice business, which was what I did in 1991. And then I sold that in 2005, and I'd already started my coaching business by then. And then in 2006, my coaching business became my full-time business. How did I get my first clients? Referral. I find people, if you ask them, are incredibly willing to help you. So I still find that a great way of meeting new people to this very day.
Love it. So financial advice, obviously, really important at the moment. The way I sort of read out your introduction, we both work in, coaching people around, the inside out, understanding how their thinking works. What has been the biggest mental challenge for you, knowing this, biggest mental challenge for you as an entrepreneur?
To me, I was thinking about that, and I guess I call it letting go of the outcome.
Nice.
So it's very easy to be attached to the outcome of what you're up to, whether that be a particular goal in your business, like a financial goal, or you want to be a certain place at a certain time, or you're in front of a potential client. And what I've learned is just to let go of that completely and to not have your mind on the outcome. And I found that incredibly helpful in my relationships, in my business. That doesn't mean don't have goals, but it means set the goal and be far more open to how you would accomplish it or might accomplish it.
I love it. Okay. If you had to start all over again, we can take this back to 1991 if you want, but if you had to start all over again, what is the very first thing that you would have done differently?
I would say be more relaxed. Because I think the kind of people that start businesses tend to be very hard on themselves and push themselves and drive themselves very hard. And even though that looks like a good idea at the time, I'm not saying don't work hard because it always takes hard work, but don't be hard on yourself. Because to me, there's no benefit to that and it's very draining.
There's a big difference, I find, between working hard and working smart.
Yeah, exactly.
And an example would be, when I say to my clients, it's like everything you do in your business, including how you look after your health, is part of your business. And if you were the PLC of me, you would take care of yourself. And they go, oh, that's a good point, actually. Yeah. So burning yourself out doesn't work.
No, but it's a hard lesson to learn, that's the thing. So if I was going back to the beginning, that's the one thing I would have learned a lot quicker.
Fantastic. And so when did you come across like the Inside Out understanding? Whenabouts did you come across it first time?
Funnily enough, it was 2009, but then I ignored it for a couple of years. So it was really 2011 when I signed up for Michael Neal's Supercoach, because I'd kind of been in this NLP world prior to that, and, yep. and Michael was in that world, and then he was making this sort of transition, if you like, to the world of the principles. And if you were around Michael at that time and it made sense to you, you kind of got pulled along with it, which is mm-hmm. really what happened with me.
For anyone who doesn't know about the three principles, Sydney Banks was the kind of like discoverer of something, which is actually very simple. It's, you know, we're alive, we think, and we feel that thought. So when you understand that you're not feeling your circumstances, you're feeling your thinking, that's actually quite a game changer. You know, it's like, I'm not actually experiencing my bank account, I'm experiencing my thinking. It's like, oh, okay, well, hold on a minute. It's sort of correlation, not causation. So we can go down that route with in another podcast, but there'll be people out there going, what are the three principles? There you go. That's it. In a nutshell. That's the light version. Right. If you were in charge of UK business, what legislation would you introduce to help entrepreneurs right now?
I would make it easier to borrow money mm-hmm. at very good rates and to not be taken advantage of by institutions, because really that's what businesses need. And there's a real stigma around failure in mm-hmm. business as well, which I think is wrong, because you know you have to try things and not everything you do is going to work. So making it easier for people to get the funding they need at a rate which is palatable, I think is really, really important, because the economy really rests and runs on entrepreneurs and create the creativity of entrepreneurs. So it's got to be a good thing that's easier for people, and currently. I don't think it is easy enough.
No, really, especially in this country, I find incredibly hard. Bearing in mind you got referrals to start with, so we're going to leave that one out. You can't use that one. But what has been your best marketing tactic and why?
Okay. Well, here's the thing. When I started in my first business, I went to work at an office which was a lot further away from me where I lived than I could have done. And the reason I went there was one particular, or actually a couple of people, but one person in particular who actually was the top producer globally for the company that I worked for. This guy was just an incredible producer of business. I mean, it was extraordinary. And the advice he gave me as regards marketing, he just said, do everything all of the time.
Right? Brilliant.
But what to put that into a context or give an example, he would try an idea immediately. Mm-hmm. See, and that without overthinking it. And if it worked, great, and if it didn't work, great. Very much like a client of mine I spoke to a couple of days ago. He's got a couple of bars. Obviously they're shut because mm-hmm. of the situation with the coronavirus. And he's got this kind of mantra, he says, and he calls it fail fast. So he said, if you've got an idea and you want to test it, he said, just do it. And if it's going to fail, fail fast. And mm-hmm. in 5 hours, he and his colleague, they created a website, got it up and running, and made £3,000 in selling cocktails online delivered to your door within a couple of days. So I think really the advice is, you know, try everything and find out what works, but don't overthink it. Just obviously don't chuck serious money at something until you've tested it, but you don't know what's going to work for you until you try it.
I love that. I've got another example for you, actually. It's two builders in America, both sort of small builders, you know, sort of 8 to 10 people in the building companies. You know, everything shuts down over there. House building shuts down over there. So one of them just like furloughs employees. The other one goes down to the local hospital with all his lads and says, look, you know, is there any building work that you need taken care of? Right. And they're like, well, actually, there are a couple of things. We need the aircon sorted out because obviously we're going to get a lot of people in there. They spend like a day and a half, like basically volunteering and doing the stuff. And then someone comes up and says, oh, we can't help but notice you guys are amazing. There's a building site down the road, right, is looking for people right now. And they're paying because they're carrying on the work. It's just because they were there, right? They all then get employed by this building site and they're still there now making more money than they would have done. Gotta try it. Just gotta do it. See what happens.
Yeah, fantastic.
Right, John, what is your favourite business book and why? I think we might be quite similar on this one.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Probably The Prosperous Coach.
Love
Steve
it.
Chandler and Rich Litvin. I'm a big fan of Steve Chandler. I'm in a programme with Steve at the moment. And I think if you want to be successful at professional services, not just coaching, so whatever professional services you provide, to me, The Prosperous Coach is a great book where it's teaching you to come from a place of service so that you provide right from the get-go, you're providing value to people. And I really like that idea. So you're not out there looking for sales, you're out there helping people. And as a result of helping people, not because that's your aim, but you're helping people and it helps you in turn. And I love that.
Fantastic. I've just held up for anyone who's watching this. This is another Steve Chandler book. I've just read it.
Yeah, it's a great book. I love that book.
And I love it. I love it. I love it. Love it. So I'm going to ask Steve to come on the show, I think. thank you. What is your morning routine?
I get up. For the last 15 odd years, I've made fresh green juice. So I juice things like kale, spinach, celery, cucumber. So I'm very, very healthy like that. I come out to my office, turn my computer on, have a bit of breakfast. Then I read for 20 minutes, half an hour, normally something sort of self-development. Quite often it's something spiritual. At the moment, I'm reading a book by Kellen Fluckinger. I've been reading David Hawkins. So what I'm doing is setting myself up mentally for the day ahead. So I don't want to literally get up and get straight into my phone or straight into my email or straight into any, I don't want to do that. So I think that setting yourself up for the day ahead is really important.
I love it. That's really good. I love the juicing as well. That's great. Okay, this is a new question for you. What do you think the coaching industry will look like in 50 years from now?
Wow, that's a good question. Well, I'd like to say it's all based in the inside out three principles understanding.
And we won't need them. We won't need coaches.
Yeah. I mean, I really do. I believe that if people could have this understanding for themselves, then the level of well-being in the world would rise enormously and we'd be living in a completely different world. 50 years, that's probably hopefully long enough for it to get some traction.
I'm 100% with you on that one. Okay, what is your favourite movie, business and entrepreneurial movie, or a movie that is, you know, relevant to, you know, growing and owning and growing a business? And if someone to play you in the movie of your business, who would it be?
Yeah, it's a great question. Now, I know the movie and I can't think of the name of it. It's on Netflix and it's Dr. Dre, and it's about and Jimmy Iovine. Now, if anyone, as you know, Dr. Dre's a rap artist or a hip hop artist, and Jimmy Iovine is a music producer. And they came up together with Beats headphones.
Oh, yes.
And there's a three-part movie or series. I can't think of the name, so you might want to put it in.
I'll put it in the show notes.
Put it in the notes afterwards, because that is just brilliant. I've watched it several times. And it's like the story of those guys from being really young and then coming through the music business, and then their entrepreneurship and the ideas they came up with. Loads of good footage in it, but it's a really absorbing film. And what I love is how Jimmy Iovine, you know, these guys are worth like $750 million each. You know, they've made serious money, and yet Jimmy Iovine, he's very very humble. You know, he's not afraid to learn. I mean, he's not got an ego. You know, he's very open, and I love that. If the name comes to me before we finish, I'll tell you. But
we'll stick it in the show notes, because I think everyone's going to be listening. I want to watch that one.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And who would play you in the starring role in your own movie?
Who would play me? Well, I'd have to say probably have to be George Clooney.
Brilliant.
Because I mean, he's the only one who's really up to my level of looks. So or Brad Pitt, you know.
I love it. Right. Finally, what are your plans for expansion or indeed exit? Now, you and I come from the same, is that we'll carry on doing this and getting paid for not to do it. What are your plans for expansion until the day you die? What are you doing?
Yeah, well, I've got some really interesting projects on the go. So I'm doing some digital stuff. So the coaching that I do a lot of work in financial services. So I'm sort of digitalizing some of the work that I do specifically for that market, which is going on at the moment. I've got a project, I can't name the company, but there's a business that I'm doing some work for, big financial services companies. So we're rolling that out to train and coach their advisors. I've got a load of one-to-one work on. I've got another book in me, because I've written two books actually, but I've got another one that I want to write. So if it interests me and I feel energy around it, then I'll do it. I mean, I'll share one story which I really like, and you might know this one, but back in the day when I was doing NLP, I trained with some of my trainers with Richard Bandler and Paul McKenna. Mm-hmm. And Richard, I remember Richard telling a story about Paul McKenna. And he said, you know, he'd go out to dinner with Paul McKenna, and he said, you could never speak to Paul McKenna, because Paul McKenna's always on the phone, like speaking to someone. And Richard said, if I actually wanted to talk to Paul, if I was out to dinner with him, I'd actually go to the gents and phone him from there. He said, that's the way I'd get to talk to him. But he said, what was interesting was that if he got an idea, Paul McKenna, he'd literally be on it straight away, like my client with the website and the cocktails. You know, yeah. they'd be on it straight away. And another person like that is Jamie Oliver. I've heard stories about Jamie where he gets an idea and he's literally on it that moment. And yeah. And that, you know, to me that's really important. And I tend to, if I get an idea, you know, I got an idea for a webinar last week, which I did earlier today. So I had 64 people on the webinar, but I didn't have that idea till the end of last week.
Brilliant.
So the idea comes, and if I like it, I'll run with it. And sometimes the ideas fizzle out.
Yeah. I love that. It's great. I was telling a client today about happy accidents. He said, yeah, if you keep an eye on where you're headed, right, the process is actually where you learn it all. Right? It's not where you're heading that actually makes a difference. Is you just keep an eye on that's the direction, but use the happy accidents that happen when you do the things. That's kind of the key to it. And she was, oh yeah, that's really useful. Brilliant. Thank you so much, John. If listeners want to get in touch with you or buy your books, how do we do that?
The website, www.dashfield.com, is my sort of general coaching website. And for financial people, www.clientcenteredadvisors.com. So it's the book is for the financial services industry. So that's available from the client-centered website.
Fantastic.
So people can get in touch with me from either of those.
Superb. And I'll put the links to those on the show notes as well. So thank you, John, so much for taking the time and having this brief delve into a real life of a real entrepreneur, a real coach. Can I ask that anyone listening to this can share this with anyone who they think also would interest to them and who works hard, and to like us on iTunes, subscribe on YouTube, as we're going out on both now, And if you would like to take part in this show, simply drop me an email at damian@rethinkingbusiness.biz and we can have a chat. So, John, here's to your future success. And thank you so much for taking part in the show.
Yeah, thanks, Damian. Appreciate it. Good to see you.
Good to see you.